to this month of July, or July rather, November is a month. Yes, it's on. Working? This month in November is a month in which we think about the last things called eschatology, and they are the reality of death. One day we're going to die. We don't know the day nor the hour. And Jesus says he'll come like a thief in the night. So we have to be prepared. So after we die, we have judgment. We're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and we have to show everything we've ever done. A little bit scary. Very scary, I would say, right? So that can maybe motivate us to clean up our act, to be converted. So with judgment, there's two possibilities. Ever been in an elevator? Elevator, there's an arrow that goes up, there's an arrow that goes down. We want to hit the up arrow, not the down arrow, okay? We want to go up to the 10th floor, not down to the basement. And that means either heaven or hell. Now, purgatory is, if you've ever been to New York, it's Penn Station. In other words, it's not something permanent, but it's something temporary. If you go to purgatory, you're eventually going to make it up to heaven. So last week we talked about purgatory. So today we're going to talk about hell, okay? It's a great topic. I love the topic of hell. One of my favorite topics. Because the reason why is we meditate upon this, it's going to keep us out of hell. So that's the purpose. If we meditate upon this, we're going to take all the steps to avoid it. But just sidestepping hell and saying it doesn't exist, or paving our way to hell. So it's like reverse psychology. No? So meditating upon this, we'll take all the steps we can to avoid this terrible reality of hell. So when I wrote out this worksheet, I was able to incorporate within this worksheet possibly the greatest modern, relatively modern apparition of hell, which came from Our Lady of Fatima. Some of you have heard of Our Lady of Fatima. I think a few of you heard of Our Lady of Fatima. So she appeared in Fatima, Portugal, in 1917, to three little shepherd children. The names were Jacinta, Francisca, brother and sister. They're shepherd children. And their older cousin, her name is Lucia. And July 13th, Our Lady opened up her hands, and the children looked down, and they saw a graphic vision of hell. Know what it looked like? Looked like a lake or a river, but it was at a fire. And they could see these souls falling into this pit of hell, and they could see these souls that were in hell, and they're floating around like balloons. You ever see a helium balloon? It's going to be blown by the wind. These transparent. So some are transparent. Transparent means it'd be like the window. Others would be bronze, okay, light brown. Others would be brown. Others were darker color. Some are pitch black. And they're floating around in the air, and they're crying out with despair. Then they could see transpiercing these souls, these hideous animals. Those were the devils. Yeah. The devils that were actually torturing these souls. And these little children, they were only 8, 9, and 10 basically, little kids. They said if Mary were not present there, they would have died of terror or fear. So it was a Blessed Mother that brought these children to witness a graphic vision of hell. And if the Blessed Mother is going to be doing this, this is good. This is good. Now, up to that point, the kids were pretty good. They're pretty good. But after this, they were transformed into little saints. Little saints. As a result of witnessing hell, little Jacinta, you know what she did? She gave up her favorite things. What's your favorite food? Think about giving that out, giving that up tonight for the rest of your life. What was her favorite food? She loved the sweet grapes of the Portuguese hillside. Grapes. I certainly like grapes. Huh? I like raisins too, dried grapes. And she gave up. She liked to dance. But it wasn't like La Cantina of L.A. Innocent dancing. No? She wrapped a rope around her little waist. And that rope would dig into her flesh. On a hot day in the middle of July, you ever play baseball in the middle of July? Hey, I used to. Man, you're dying of thirst, huh? Especially if you're from New York, you know? Well, there's a lot of humidity, huh? She would give up drinking water when she's dying of thirst. All this to save souls. And she prayed many, many, many rosaries. She ended up in the hospital and had an operation without anesthesia. Imagine being cut open for a hernia or something without anesthesia. What do you think about that? I almost faint just thinking about it. And she offered up for the salvation of souls. And she dies at 9 years old, and now her name is Saint Jacinta Martel. She's a saint, one of the youngest saints in the Catholic Church. She and her little brother died. They didn't even learn how to read and write. When her brother was asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" He said, "I don't want to grow up. I want to go to heaven." And it happened. Yeah, I don't care about growing up. I just want to go to heaven. And he was taken to heaven. So little Jacinta, John Paul II called her a little victim soul. And Francisco, a little mystic. Because you like to spend long hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament and console the lonely Lord in the tabernacle. These are two little children. They didn't have all the luxuries that you have. They didn't have a cell phone. They couldn't even read and write. They didn't have air conditioning, you know what that is. They didn't have heating. They had much, much less than you, so all of you can become saints. Amen? Right, Nick? Amen or oh me? It's an amen, right? They've got 10 times as much than these children. 100 times as much. So if we don't become a saint, it's our fault. Because God has given us all the tools. It's like, I mean, if I tell you to hit the baseball, you never take the bat off your shoulder. You're never going to hit it. You're not going to hit it with your pinky, right? You got to get the bat off your shoulder. You got to swing it, huh? So these are tools that we have to use. And we've been teaching them, right, Jeremy? The rosary and mass and confession, all these things are the tools that they know they have to use them, but they got to use them. They can decide not to use them. So let's go with Dante into the pits of hell, okay? So that we will not be there for all eternity, right? It's just going to be a short visit, too, but I think very efficacious. Ready? Ready to go with me to hell? We're going to get out, okay? We're going to get out, right? But let's go at least visit hell for a short time. Man, so imagine that you're going to get your little teddy bear, right, because of this scary talk. This your osito, right? Let's go for it. One of the most harsh, severe, sobering truths of our Catholic faith is the reality of hell. And we repeat, the reality of hell. Some people even some Catholics have fallen into the heresy in stating that they simply do not believe in the reality of hell. Look, I could say this. Oh, okay, this wall doesn't exist. Whoop! Hit my head on the wall. I said this wall didn't exist, but I still bumped my head in the wall. I can say, this table doesn't exist. But even though I deny its existence, it still exists. So you can say hell doesn't exist, but you're going to end up there anyway. So we can deny the truth, but that does not negate the fact that the truth exists. There are Catholics that say, I don't believe in hell. A lot of them. And those are the ones that probably end up there. Faustina said in the diary, those who denied the existence of hell, those are the ones that were in the pit of hell. So this class is going to impress deeply in our souls the rest of our lives that hell does exist. And all of us can go there. I can go there. Jeremy can go there. Rosa can go there. Your mom, your dad, even your abuelita. They can all go to hell. Right? If we abuse our freedom, we could all end up in hell. So we want to do all we possibly can to avoid that. Right, Noe? Everything we do to avoid going to hell. Okay, it is often heard the following. I cannot see nor believe how a good, kind, merciful, and loving God could ever send anyone to hell. Don't forget, God is love and all loving God. You ever hear that one? It's pretty common. How can an all-loving, merciful God send anyone to hell? You hear that quite a bit. You do. Even good Catholics, an all-loving God, how could he possibly send anyone to hell? Now, I'm going to respond to that. In a certain sense, this statement is true in that God does not will to send anyone to hell. But the reality is that those persons who willingly reject God, reject his will, reject following his commandments, persist in living in mortal sin, and die in mortal sin, have chosen of their own free will, by their free actions, to reject God. The consequence of such an attitude and style of life is a condemnation to the harsh but also reality of hell. Okay, right now we're going to do a spiritual exercise, okay? Ready, Jeremy and Rose, you ready? This is a spiritual exercise for teenagers. I've written something to be able to do. You've all done the spiritual exercise. This is going to be good for them. Okay, so let's try to do an exercise together, and you're going to be using your imagination. We're going to have a literary contrast, two different things. So first we're going to contemplate heaven. I've just written a very short contemplative image of heaven. You try to imagine the happiest day, hour, minute, or even moment in your whole life. Got it? Maybe you're thinking, the last inning, you're losing by 3 runs, you hit a grand slam, and you win the World Series. Right, Joseph? No. That would be a good one, right? If you like sports, right? Okay, on a human level, that would be pretty good, right? On a human level. I used to play baseball. I never did that, but that would be a great one, wouldn't it? Huh? But on a human level, what was maybe the happiest day, hour, minute in your life? Maybe it's when you brought forth your first daughter and you saw Kylie smile at you the first time. Was that happy? Probably one of the happiest moments of your life. You're not a mother, you have a little baby there in your arms smiling at you. That must be pretty cool as a mother, right? And maybe seeing your first son born and everybody smiling at, hey, Dad, I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? On a human level, it's pretty high. Okay. For me, Nick, it was this. 1986, May 25th, John Paul II put his hands on my head. Wow. You heard of John Paul II, JP2? And then I got up a new priest. Wow. That was the happiest moment in my life when I became a priest. By John Paul II, possibly the greatest pope that ever lived in the world. And he's a saint. Now I am a third class relic. Holy hair, right? I'm a third class relic. It's a holy head. Maybe because a saint touched me in the head, my head doesn't change, no? My hair is a little bit different, but it's the same head, right? So that was the happiest day, hour, moment in my life when John Paul II made me a priest forever. Wow. Following morning when I got up, I had to pinch myself. I think that was just a dream. No, that's me. I was thinking maybe I was just dreaming. No, but it was the real thing. How good God is, huh? Okay, now let's continue with this. So you all brought to a moment, to your mind, some really happy moment in your life, okay? Got it? Now, prolong that joy into eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. So it's 100 times greater than what I just said, but forever and ever and ever. So my friends, with this, you have a mere glimpse, small taste in what heaven one day will be for us. We've done a little Ignatian contemplation with these kids. What do you think, Rosa? If we make it and we trust and hope that one day heaven will be ours for all eternity. Okay, now, buckle your seatbelts now. Buckle them tight. We're going into the pit of hell now. Hell. Now try to imagine the worst day, the worst hour, the worst minute in your whole life. Call to mind an intense suffering that you had to undergo. Think about it. Did you ever suffer? Two weeks in a row, think about intense suffering. Maybe physical suffering. Got it? And the suffering was very intense. Excruciating. Almost beyond words to explain. Now think about that for a few seconds. When you really suffered so much. Okay, now your suffering may have been physical. Did you know that there's mental suffering? How about emotional? You've heard our emotions, maybe emotional suffering. How about social? So, being rejected by a friend, that's tough. I think it's happened. Maybe you've experienced being rejected by a friend, someone you really thought was your friend, and he betrayed you, he knifed you in the back, so to speak. No joke. That's painful. Or scholastic. I got an A. Ended up with a D minus. Even though you put all those long hours of study, you got a D minus. You thought you were going to get an A. That's suffering. That is suffering. Cultural. Some of your parents maybe came from Mexico or maybe the Philippines. Your parents come from Mexico, they come here. That's cultural shock. Some of your parents were born in Mexico. I experienced it more than them. I ended up in Italy and they ended up in Argentina and Chile. Very different than New York. Whew. Tough. Have to learn the language, their culture, their ways of acting. A lot of suffering there. Cultural differences. So there are many ways that we can suffer. So there are many shapes, forms, and sizes of suffering. Now try to imagine that time of suffering in your life, okay, that you thought about. Now multiply that 1,000 times. So it's bad, but now it's 1,000 times worse. Got it? All right. Then, that suffering that you will have to endure into eternity, which means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So, my friends, you have a mere glimpse into the reality of hell. Okay. I told some of your parents yesterday, maybe right now they don't love God. Maybe. There's a good chance some of them really don't love God. I hope in a year and a half that they will. That's our goal, right? We want them to love God. Maybe they don't yet. And you're forced here. You don't really want to come. Got to go to Mass on Sunday. You don't want to say your prayers. Face it. Be honest. Maybe you don't love God yet. Okay? But at least if you fear the Lord, at least you're going to get into purgatory. You might be there for 500 years. It could be. Maybe 100. No? But if you get into purgatory, you're going to make it to heaven. So dealing with them where they're at, maybe they don't love God yet. I hope they do, but I doubt it. But if they do have fear of the Lord, and they can avoid serious sin because of fear of the Lord, that's going to get you into purgatory. And eventually you're going to get to heaven. Our goal is that we're going to bring these kids, in a year and a half they're going to love God. That's my prayer for them. Right, Rosa? Jeremy? Right? That's our goal. I mean, I think it's a tall order, but let's shoot for the stars, right? And they're going through tough times, so are we. And Charles Dickens, the best novelist in the 19th century, said the worst of times can be the best of times. Amen? The worst of times can be the best of times. If we're walking with the Lord, the worst of times can be the best of times. If we're walking with the Lord. Got that? So our hope and prayer is that they're going to have fear of the Lord. I'm going to avoid this sin because I don't want to go to hell. But one day, I don't want to commit the sin because I love God. I don't want to do anything to hurt God. That's even better. It's better to do it because we love God than we fear the Lord. But we should have both of them. Okay, so I've gone through the apparition of a lady Fatima. I said it in my own words, but you'll be able to read it. You can read it later on. But I want to go through the different details of what hell is like. So let's go to the bottom of the page. So let's enter into our understanding of the reality of hell. Okay, does hell really exist? Write down absolutely. In good Spanish, no cabe la menor duda, right? Rosa? Absolutely. Absolutely. Pencil? So write down, absolutely. Hell definitely exists. and never get that out of your mind. Hell does exist. And we could go there. I could go there, and so could you, if we willingly reject God in our life, we die in mortal sin. Okay, how do we know that hell exists? Okay, I'll give you two responses. The church teaches it, but even more important, write down, Jesus teaches it very, very often. Jesus spoke about heaven, he did. But he spoke much more about hell. I thought that very interesting. Heaven he does. John chapter 14. I'm going now to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also might be. In my Father's home, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you. John chapter 14, Jesus speaks about the mansion in heaven that's waiting for me and for you. Very clear. But he speaks much more about hell. Why? Because he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to go there. That's the reason why. He loves us so much, he doesn't want any of you to go to hell. That's why he mentions it so often. Okay, I'm going to rifle off for you right now three or four verses from memory where you can find hell. So I'm going to give you the biblical verse, a summary of it. Then you have a Bible at home. Read it at home. Read through these biblical passages at home. So let's start with, write down Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Okay, Jesus gives a parable. He says, at the end of the world, the shepherd will have the sheep in front of him. And he'll separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on the right and the goats will be on the left. And he will say this, I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was a foreigner, you didn't welcome me. I was sick and in prison, you didn't come to visit me. Get out of my sight into the hellfire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the word of Jesus Christ. So write down Matthew 25 and next to it write down, we will be judged on our love or lack of love. Yeah. We'll be judged on our love as well as our lack of love. If you're hating your neighbor, you're despising your neighbor, you're hating and despising Christ. Because Christ is present in our brothers and sisters. You die hating anyone, you're not going to go to heaven. You hear me? You die hating anyone. You've got hatred in your heart. It could be one person, even a person that's dead, you're not going to make it to heaven. You can't go to heaven with hatred in your heart. You can't. You can't. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, the greatest commandment is love one another as I've loved you. So some of you might have hatred in your heart. Get it out. Someone hurt you and you're really angry, maybe hating that person. Get it out of your heart now. You got hatred in the heart? That's cancer in your heart. You know what cancer does to your body? That's what hatred does to your soul. Get it out. Forgive. I'm not going to say forgive and forget. That's a pious platitude. That's a cliche. You can't do that. Unless you got Alzheimer's, huh? I think I can remember things 60 years ago. You got a good memory, no? You can't forget, but you have to forgive. And it's not in your emotions, it's an act of will. Right, Jeremy? It's not in your emotions, because someone who hurt you, you might really have a a disgust for that person, but you pray for that person, that's enough. So don't live with hatred in your heart. That'll kill you. In life as well as after life. Okay? Second. So Matthew chapter 25, I'm giving you a brief summary of the passage. It's the last part of Matthew chapter 25. Okay, let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16. Okay, I'll give you a brief summary of Luke 16. Jesus gives another parable. Now, a parable is a short story that Jesus would use to express a spiritual truth. It's the parable of the rich man and the poor man at his gate. Okay, this rich man, every day he'd be sitting at his table, dressed in fine linen, and every day for him was what we're going to be celebrating in 8 days. Thanksgiving. Can you imagine if every day were Thanksgiving? Probably within a year, all of us would weigh about 300 pounds, no? Maybe more, huh? We'd have to go on a diet, huh? So imagine every day is Thanksgiving for this guy. I mean, he's eating, he's going to town, okay? The turkey, the gravy, the ice cream, the cranberry sauce, the stuffing. He's stuffing himself with stuffing, too. Huh? So this guy, he's high off the hog, as we say. He's going to town. And outside his gate, who do you have? This guy named Lazarus. He's dressed in rags, he's poor, he's skinny, and think about this. Any of you have a dog? Do you know what a dog is? He's so sick that he's got these wounds, these open cuts. And the dogs come to lick those cuts. How would you like it if you're walking down the street and you got a cut and these dogs start to lick your wounds? Pretty ugly, huh? Osco, right? I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. You think about it. Oh, yeah. And then he wants to eat what the crumbs that fall from the table this fat rich man. Probably a fatty, huh? Then they both die, and what happens? The rich man is in the fire of hell, and the poor man is in heaven. Question, why did he go to hell? Not so much for what he did do, but for what he failed to do. Yeah. Got it? Not so much for what he did do, but for what he failed to do. That's called a sin of omission. Probably most of our sins are sin of omission, but we don't have a well-formed conscience. We don't do what we should be doing. Ever happened? Your mom or dad says, take out the trash. You don't do it. That's a sin. Sin of omission. You're supposed to take out the trash. You're not doing it. You're disobeying your parents. You're committing a sin of omission. Okay? Supposed to go to Mass on Sunday. I'm not going to go. Sin of omission. Tomorrow you got a tough exam. You got to study after. You got to study to prepare for this math exam. I'm not going to do it. Sin of omission. Your mom says, help out your baby sister, your little sister, and you don't do it, sin of omission. So there are tons of sins of omission. Maybe not all these are mortal sins, but they are sins. Not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So this rich man, I mean, he wasn't a cholo, and he didn't have a gun, he didn't have a knife, he wasn't robbing a bank. Wasn't cheating on his wife. Probably didn't even have a wife, no? But he was not helping out that poor man that Lazarus was Jesus Christ. Yeah. Lazarus was really Jesus Christ, present in the poor. So examine your life to see maybe many of our actions are failures. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Got it? Yeah. So examine your lives. Okay, that's the second. Let's move on to the third. Okay, write down Matthew chapter 5. buckle your seatbelts. We're going for a ride. The Beatles, you got a ticket to ride. We're going now. Matthew 5. Jesus said this. It was said in the past, you should not commit adultery. You ever hear the word adultery, any of you? There's this little kid who was 7 or 8 years old. He went to confession and he said, I lied, punched my brother, stuck out my tongue at my grandmother. And the little 8-year-old said, and also adultery. Hey! Adultery. 8 years old, he's getting younger and younger. Younger and younger. The priest said, adultery, what do you do? He said, I disobeyed the adults. They didn't pick that one up, but they'll pick it up later, okay? Understanding humor is a sense of intelligence, Fulton Sheen, right? Right, Jeremy? They're going to start to laugh now, right? And Teresa Valpo says, reading is a sign of intelligence. They're all going to carry books tomorrow, right? Now, adultery is not disobeying the adults. Okay, it's a play in words. Adultery is your, say for example, you're married and you cheat on your husband. You're unfaithful, your husband, that's called adultery. That's really what it is. So Jesus says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but whoever looks at a woman with bad intentions is already committing adultery in his heart. Wow. What about maybe looking at bad things on the internet or maybe on the phone? Whoa! Jesus said, if your eye is an occasion of sin, what did Jesus say? Pluck it out. Better to enter into heaven with one eye than to be cast into hellfire with both of your eyes. If your hand is an occasion of sin for you, cut it off. Better enter into heaven with one hand than to be cast into hellfire with both hands. If your foot is an occasion of sin, cut it off with your sneaker too. Better to enter into heaven with one foot and one leg than in to be cast into hellfire, where the fire never dies, nor does the worm die. I mean, that's the word of Jesus Christ. Strong stuff, huh? But it's the word of God. So those are three passages. Maybe write down next to number three. I'll just write another one in. John 15. No, you don't have space, but write down John 15. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. My Father will cut off the branches that do not bear fruit and throw them into the fire. John 15. So right off the bat, I've given them four biblical passages that talk about hell. So anyone who denies hell, look, I'm going to be very blunt now. Whoever denies hell says that Jesus is a liar. Blasphemy, right? I mean, that's strong, isn't it? You deny hell, you're saying that Jesus Christ is a liar. That's blasphemy. Now, blasphemy is a strong word. You're calling Jesus a liar? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So accept what Jesus says and try to obey his teaching. That's why we're here, right? So I've given them abundant biblical resources for hell. And you can read them at home and try to meditate upon them and memorize them. So I'm just speaking through memory, right? Not using notes, no? Okay, so we've gone passage 1, 2, 3. Let's move on to number Our Lady Fatima, July 13, 1917. Write down Our Lady showed the little children a vision of hell. Write that down. Our Lady Fatima showed the children a vision of hell, and very graphic at that. I already explained that to you about a half hour ago. And you have it written in the sheet. You can read it later on. She revealed to them a graphic vision of hell. Now, modern liberal theology, oh, don't talk to children about hell, or they're going to have a lot of psychological problems in their life. Did they have to go to psychologists after that, Jacinta Francisco Lucia? They all had to have a shrink for about a year and a half, huh? No. They didn't have to have a shrink. I mean, they were turned into saints. That motivated them to really live holy lives. So talking to children and teenagers about health is very, very useful. This is the only class you're going to have on hell, but we have to have at least one class on hell, as well as on purgatory, as well as on death, as well as on heaven. These truths are very important. You're not going to get this in school tomorrow, I'm sure, right? But you're going to get it from me. You're going to get it from the church. All right, then the next question is, who's in hell? Who's in hell? Two different types of individuals. Who's in hell are, I read it, the devils. The devils are in hell. You know what a devil is? A devil is a rebellious angel. The devils are angels, but they're bad angels. And they said no to God, that they would not serve, and God said, okay, you're going to reject me, hell. So God created hell just like that, when they said, I'm not going to serve you. Starting with Lucifer, the most beautiful and the highest, and then the other ones. It says a third of the stars fell from the sky. A third of those stars would be the angels, turning into devils. Who else is in hell? Write down the damned souls who rejected God in life. The damned souls who rejected God in life. The Lady Fatima presented those souls. They were kind of transparent, kind of like balloons floating up and down. All right. Okay, now why did they go to hell? Okay, this is what the Catechism teaches. Okay, those go to hell who commit mortal sin and they die in mortal sin unrepentant. That's the Catechism, okay? Those who commit mortal sin, so write that down. Those who commit mortal sin and die in mortal sin unrepentant. There's a summary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, okay? So they commit the mortal sin, but they purposely don't repent of it. We're often interested in the book of Revelation that speaks about the second death. What does that mean? What do you think that means? The first death would be to commit a mortal sin. The second death would be to die in mortal sin. So you commit a mortal sin, that's a death of your soul. But you die in mortal sin, that's the second death. So you commit a mortal sin, repent as soon as possible. Commit a mortal sin, as soon as possible, repent. Try to make a perfect act of contrition right away. Lord, I'm sorry, I love you, forgive me. God is slow to anger and he's rich in mercy. The psalm says that. God's slow to anger and he's rich in mercy. Okay, let's move on. Okay, Lady Fatima says most people go to the fires of hell for the following reason. It's a sin against the sixth and ninth commandment. Okay, let's specify. The sin's against purity, right? Or chastity. And we've already decided good news. We're going to give them the chastity ring March 19th. What do you think? We don't have enough time to prepare them for Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Guadalupe, because it's so close, or the Immaculate Conception. But they're going to be a beautiful mass in which the girls are going to give you a ring, a chastity ring, and the boys are probably going to be given the Medal of Saint Benedict, really beautiful medals. And what are you going to do? Okay, that ring you're going to give to your husband on your wedding night. Yeah. You're going to give that to your husband on your wedding night. You're going to be pure, and you're giving your husband, you're my first and you're my last. You hear me? Isn't that beautiful, Rosa? Yeah, on your wedding night. Okay, you're my first, you're my last, this is for you. I marry you, love you until I die. That's what it's going to be. And that's going to happen. We're going to really pray for them that they're faithful to that, right? So that's where the battle is in this area of impurity. But you know, pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, the LGBT. We're bombarded by so many things against purity, right? You just walk through the mall and you got these people improperly dressed. We're tempted in so many ways, so we want to consecrate ourselves to Mary, Immaculate Heart of Mary. Right, Jeremy? Mary's more powerful than the evil that surrounds us, and Jesus also. Okay. So that's the reason. And she said this 100 years ago. Well, 105 years ago, right? So she said this more than 100 years ago, and it's gotten much worse, right? Okay, got a lot of girls here. Be pretty. Bonita, but not provocative. Yeah? Dress well. Dress well, you know, you're beautiful, but never be a source of temptation. Got that? You're called to be pretty. God created that way. But never in such a way that God's going to look at you with bad intentions. You hear me? And maybe one day, maybe Rosa can talk about that. You're a woman. You give them a talk, the importance of dressing properly, right? Very important. Very important. I've heard this, though. The most important person that should talk to the girls about this should be your father. Yeah. Even more than the mother. Interesting, right? Now, you sit down with your father and he talks to you about important to being a pretty girl and make sure you dress properly. You're probably going to listen to your father more than your mother. Yeah. So we're going to pray to be able to do all we possibly can to avoid committing sin and falling into sin and not causing other people to sin too. We are our brother's keeper. Yes, we are. Okay, let's move on. The pains of hell, what are they? Do any of your maybe parents have the diary of Saint Faustina? Your mom has it? Diary of Saint Faustina? I think they do. Diary of Saint Faustina. Try to get that. And you write down the number, 741. Maybe even check that out at home. Even if you were to Google in Diary of Saint Faustina 741, you're going to get it. You got two pages where Jesus reveals to St. Faustina what hell is like and the six different sufferings, and I'll try to give a summary of that. Okay, so the first would be, it's called the pain of the senses. Pain of the senses. Okay, put down fire. Fire, you ever gotten burnt? Huh? Fire. Now, St. Ignatius has an application of senses. Okay, try to imagine hell with your eyes. What do you see? Fire. Smoke. Okay, what are you going to hear? The crackling of fire? What else? Curses, right? The devils and the people cursing. Okay, what about the smell? Do you ever smell rotten eggs? I have. You ever smell rotten eggs or sulfur? Try to imagine sulfur rotten eggs. It's not Chanel number 5. I mean, it's pretty bad, huh? How about tears? You see tears because of their suffering. How about taste? Taste of bitterness. Maybe you're eating a bitter lemon, no? Bitterness. So that's called the application of senses of St. Ignatius. Imagine the pain of your senses. Okay, next would be despair. Write down sadness and no hope. Okay? Sadness and no hope. Next would be no change. No change. No change. So one day you get up, you got a headache. Take a couple of Advil or ibuprofen, right? And then the next day you get up, no longer a headache. So in hell, it's not going to change. You'll have the headache forever. You'll have the suffering forever. There's no change. We're always hoping that things will get better. When things seem to be going bad, we're always hoping that things will get better. Okay, eternal. There we have the word eternal. We know what eternal means. It means forever and ever and ever and ever. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Here's a catechetical example that I read many years ago. Try to imagine a bird that takes a grain of sand and has to fly all the way to the moon. Okay? So it flies all the way to the moon with a grain of sand. And he drops a grain of sand on the moon. Then the bird has to fly all the way back again to Newport Beach. He gets another grain of sand. Flies all the way to the moon. And he drops the grain of sand again. Flies all the way back once again to the beach. Gets another grain of sand. You got to fly all the way to the moon. Drops a grain of sand. Getting tired now. So it's a long trip. Then he flies all the way back to planet Earth. Gets another grain of sand. He flies all the way to the moon. Drops a grain of sand. He flies all the way back. Gets another grain of sand and he flies all the way to the moon. Now when that bird will have taken all the grains of sand on planet Earth, deposited them all on the moon, eternity is just beginning. We're just in the very threshold of eternity. Good one, huh? Powerful, huh? You know, this is going to obviously going to take trillions of years, right? Years upon years upon years upon years. So we don't want to go to hell, do we, no? We want to do all we possibly can to avoid it. Our Lady Fatima said, Mary, that if we would meditate upon eternity, we'd all be converted, right? If you meditate upon eternity, you're going to give up your sins. Not for love of God, at least for fear of the Lord, right? Love for God, we're hoping that it's going to come one day, right? But fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You mentioned that, remember, a couple weeks ago, you mentioned the two different things. You've got the capital sins, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? That's a good contrast. We want to allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to take possession of us, right? And not allow to become slaves of the capital sins. I like your contrast. Hmm? Yep. Good collaborators here, huh? Fellow workers in the Lord, in the vineyard of the Lord. Okay, so what is eternity? Can damned souls get out of hell? That's a good question that's sometimes asked. Can you pray for the souls in hell? Okay, someone's in hell. Can you pray for them and maybe get them up? Maybe there's a certain roof you can maybe get up, climb a roof and get out of hell. Or maybe there's a basement door you can maybe get through that. Maybe there's a crack in the wall. If you're skinny enough, you can maybe get through it. No. What do you think? Nick, what do you think? Nope. once you're in hell, you're there for all eternity. There's no escape. There's no escape hatch or any chimney or any basement. No, you're there forever. Try to imagine you're in a small jail cell with 10 of the worst cholos in L.A. The cholos, no, and they're all 250 pounds. They're bald. They got the tattoos on. They got knives. And there you are, surrounded. You got to live with them for the next 10 years. Good luck, huh? Well, hell is going to be worse. And that's next. 15, the presence of the devils. The presence of the devils. What do you think the devils are going to do? They're just going to do this? Wishful thinking, huh? Wishful thinking. The devils are going to torture you. They're going to torture you. Think about being tortured. And not one, but many of them. That scares me. I don't want to be tortured by devils. I wouldn't want to be tortured by the cholas of Compton. No, I wouldn't want to be tortured. And I wouldn't want to torture anyone else, no? And the devils they're much more intelligent than we are, but they're perverted, their intelligence. They're much stronger than we are, and they're numerous. So that's a good thought. The devils are in hell, and the devils want us to go to hell so much so that they can torture us in hell. It's ugly, isn't it? But it's true. It's true. So we're going to, I really believe by going through this, we're all going to avoid hell. That's my purpose. I really believe that. Right, Jeremy? By them meditating upon this, this is going to wake us up out of our stupor, out of our slumber, and we're going to take your spiritual life more seriously. Take it seriously. No free ride. We got to work to be really good Catholics. We got to work at it. The Catholics say, "Hey, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain." Think, Joseph, I threw a no-hitter when I was your age. You know why? Because I practiced that curveball probably a thousand times. Tell your dad that one, huh? Man, I practiced it. A 13-year-old, they never saw the curve, so I was whiffing them right and left because never saw. They're bailing out. But man, did I practice that. You ever throw a curveball? Throw a curveball, you got to practice it, right? Or a slider, or a knuckleball, or a sinker. Huh? No spitballs, okay? Got that? You know, in athletes in sports, people work very hard, right, to arrive at the major leagues and win, you know, the World Series. No, shouldn't we work hard to get to heaven? Hello, shouldn't we? We should work even harder to get to heaven than the World Series. The World Series trophy that's going to get rusty anyway, huh? So we got to get to heaven, right, Nick? Okay, the law, number 16, the loss of God, hatred for God. Put an asterisk or a circle over number 16. And write down, I lose the purpose of my life to love God forever in heaven. I lose the purpose of my life to love God forever in heaven. That is the greatest suffering, because we're created by a loving God, and we're created to love God for all eternity. We lose that. That's the greatest suffering of all the souls in hell. You don't want to lose God, right? God loves you, but you got to love Him back. Okay, then, what is eternity? We already mentioned this, but write down, eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever. See, I'm going back and I'm doing Ignatian repetition. Eternity is very important. Can damned souls get out of hell? Okay, we already mentioned that. No, they're stuck in hell forever. How can we avoid hell? Two things. Can I mention this? Try to learn how to pray and go deeper in your prayer life all the days of your life. Try to learn how to pray. Try to learn how to pray and go deeper in your prayer life all the days of your life. Because if, say for example, you're praying a little bit now, maybe at least a little bit, but then each year you're growing in your prayer life. That's the way it should be. If your prayer life is growing and growing and growing, you're going to make it to heaven. You will. This is what St. Augustine says. St. Augustine says, he who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Got it? You like that? That's St. Augustine. I'll say it again. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. Who dies well, all is well. Amen? Got that? I mean, you've heard us speak about this tons of times. Take it seriously. Never go through a day in which you're not praying to God. For the love of God, talk to God. He's your friend. El amigo que nunca falla. He's your friend. How are you going to be a friend to someone you never talk to him? Forget it. Talk to God any way you want. Say the rosary, pray the psalms, speak from your heart, sing a song of praise. We have to pray more and better. That is the key that will get us to heaven. You ever read the life of a saint? All the saints were people that prayed a lot. Maybe they had a lot of limitation, but they prayed a lot. So if you pray well, you're going to make it to heaven. Okay, and then three practices. What should we do every month, every week, every day? Well, I'm going to say it's not that hard, but I'm saying you're going to have to do this your whole life. Okay, every month, make a good confession. Okay, make a good confession. At least every month. And you know, your confession, it doesn't have to be long. You got to prepare yourself. Try to prepare yourself well. You can make a good confession in 3 minutes, no? You got to prepare yourself well. I mean, spend 10, 15, 20 minutes preparing yourself. The better the preparation, the better the confession. Okay, then every week, you got to go to Mass and receive communion. Now, some of you, most of you, you're going to Mass on Sunday, but some of you, maybe your parents, are negligent. You know, you got to go to Mass. You got to tell your parents, look, I want to go to Mass on Sunday. Most of you do. And those who do go to Mass on Sunday, well, maybe try to go once or twice during the week. Right? It's great when parents, you know, take your kids to Mass even more frequently. No, maybe at least, okay, go on Friday. Sunday and Friday as a sacrifice. Okay, then the third is, okay, this is the big challenge. Try to pray the rosary every day. You know, it only takes 15 minutes. You spend maybe 3 hours on your phone. You can't, come on, 15 minutes. There was a great Roman poet, Seneca. He says, it's not that we don't have enough time, it's just that we don't use the time properly. Seneca, okay? This is a Roman poet. Okay, well, did you like this class? Oh, no response. Whether you liked it or not, it's important. Very important class. And my purpose is, if you know about hell, we can avoid hell. Right, Noe? we know about it, we'll be able to avoid it. So let's say Hail Mary and pray that we all go to heaven. Okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. And glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.